This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this lovely Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. He's on the other side of the glass. Hear from him later in the hour when we get to his fun house. Orioles start spring training on Saturday. We're going to break down the Orioles lineup versus the Yankees lineup at 11:30 and the starting rotation, so stay tuned for that. Whip around in between. You got the Four Nations Championship coming up Thursday, but Saturday it was full-on Royal Rumble, and we'll talk about that as Vinny was watching with great and U.S. won, which, by the way, is the most important thing, but they were throwing fists and dropping gloves, like literally right after puck drop, so we'll talk about that and more, but Ravens news is always front and center, and unfortunately, it's been mainly kind of bad, I guess. It has been bad. Ben Cleveland, DUI, but probably mosey on out as a free agent. But Justin Tucker, that's the other one. And here from USA Today, the Ravens wire to talk about it on the Window Nation guest hotline. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning, first of all. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me back. And for the Ravens, it's just a countdown to free agency now. It's less than a month away, and we'll see what they end up doing.
All right, we'll start with Justin Tucker. Didn't necessarily want to do that, but you know, the allegations came out over the weekend, seven more. Has he kicked his last football for the purple here? I mean, it's an unfortunate and it's certainly an unceremonious end to his Ravens career, maybe NFL career, if in fact that's going to be true. But is that the harsh reality he's looking at, Ravens fans are looking at, and the Ravens organization's looking at?
Yeah, I mean, it might have to be. And, you know, there were questions, especially, you know, just regardless of the situation with the season that he had, or at least the start of the year that he had last year. It's like, okay, is it time for the Ravens to start looking at a new kicker? And now these allegations come out and they continue to come out. And the Ravens are going to have to make that decision of, you know, they're going to do their due diligence. The NFL is going to do their due diligence. And is the organization going to say, well, you know, there's the zero tolerance policy to this, but, you know, whether it's true or not, are they going to have to make a tough decision with Justin Tucker? And I feel like for the Ravens, this might drag out for a while. The situation might drag out for a while. The Ravens can actually have some cap savings if they end up releasing Justin Tucker as a post-June 1 cut. Now, they can do that when the new league year starts, but they can announce that before. So they can't officially make the move until March 12th, 13th, right around that range when free agency starts and the league year begins. But they can come out today or tomorrow and say, hey, we're going to make this move. People are assuming, and it's very likely, that Marcus Williams will be one of those post-June 1 cuts. You can have two of those. And for Justin Tucker, is it time? And this, to me, it's like, well, the organization has had that zero tolerance policy for a while, and they've been very clear about that. Now, we'll have to figure out how the rest of the investigations go, if there are any more allegations that come out. But, you know, in a span of just a couple of weeks here, it's gone from, you know, single-digit women now, we're at double-digit women, and that's going to be a situation the Ravens are going to have to monitor here because, you know, if they do keep him on the team, they're going to have to explain that. If they don't, they're going to have to explain that too. So regardless, the Ravens have a decision to make, and I'm curious to see which way they go.
Well, it's much easier to explain why you got rid of him than if you keep him. It is going to be a that's going to be a very interesting scenario if they do that.
Right, and I think that, you know, when you talk about if you keep him, they will have to explain it, and I think that for the, you know, rest of his time in Baltimore, it's kind of like the Ravens are in a situation where they're going to have to figure out what they want to do, or I guess for lack of better terms, what they want to deal with in this situation. Because obviously with these allegations, and they are serious allegations, if they do decide to keep Justin Tucker and things keep coming out, like obviously the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland, it's kind of like, okay, it's all this stuff now. And I know that a lot of people are saying, well, look, it's now 16 women. It's all very similar stories. And, you know, whether it's true or not, if the Ravens do decide to keep him, they will have to, I guess, answer for it. And if they don't, they'll have to answer for it too. So either which way, they're going to have a decision to make, and they're going to have to explain their reasoning one way or the other. So that's kind of where they are.
Brady, Cleveland will never see a Ravens uniform again, will he?
I think even before this situation, I was not penciling him back in, and now the door is most definitely slammed shut, in my opinion. I mean, it didn't work. You know, I think that some people say, oh, he didn't get a fair shot, but there's no way at this point that he's going to be back. And the guard position, you actually look at it now, and people are talking about edge, people are talking about maybe secondary, even tackle with Ronnie Stanley. I think that guard position, or at least both guard positions, are something that people are maybe underrating. Not everybody, but some people are underrating is a big need on this roster right now.
Yeah, I don't. I think I kind of like, you know, because I think Rosengarten's going to be the left tackle, Voorhees going to be the left guard, Lindenbaum, Falele, and then they're going to need a right tackle. That's kind of the way I see it.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think for the Ravens, it's just going to depend on who's available, let's say, because obviously when you talk about the offensive line market, it is out of control right now in terms of the money that these free agents are getting. I wouldn't be shocked if Ronnie Stanley got right around $20 million per season with the way that people are getting paid nowadays. And Ronnie deserves that based off of the year that he had and, you know, the way that everybody needs good, valuable offensive linemen. So I agree with you where I think that Rosengarten would flip over to the left side, and then by the end of the second round, I feel like the Ravens should have a tackle, and hopefully a tackle of their future. I know that you can't get lucky every time like they did with Rosengarten, but they've had a track record of drafting guys, especially at that offensive line position, and that's not just in the early rounds. It's mid rounds, it's late rounds that have contributed. Now, obviously, you'd go back to Ben Cleveland, that might be one of the exceptions to the rule, but I think that for the Ravens, if you can have two tackles on rookie contracts while Lamar Jackson is on his big deal, while you have other guys that you're going to have to sign a big extension, and guys already have signed a big extension, that would be such a good thing for them because, again, they're going to have to make some decisions with those extensions, and offensive linemen, they're getting paid crazy amounts of money right now. So to have two, hopefully Pro Bowl contributors down the line here in Rosengarten and whoever that other tackle is on rookie deals for the next 3, 4, 5 years potentially, that would be absolutely amazing for them.
Where do you see TJ Tampa playing? Safety or like nickel?
I think nickel is probably the way I'd go there. Now, obviously, the way the Ravens handle the corner position is going to be interesting this offseason. I don't think they necessarily need to make a huge addition. They could. They definitely could. I know that a lot of people's dream acquisition might be a Jair Alexander or someone along those lines. But I think that for TJ Tampa, someone that, you know, he dealt with injuries and they didn't really necessarily need him a ton last year. I think year two for him, Brandon Stevens, I'm assuming, is not going to be back. And if they don't make another big acquisition there, if they don't make a splash or draft somebody on day one or day two, I would expect him to have a pretty major role because I think that the Ravens should probably move on from Arthur Millette. I think that, you know, you can put Marlon on the outside, you can put Nate on the outside, but also Marlon's so good in the nickel that you could maybe sign another outside corner or experiment with guys there and put Marlon in the nickel and have him rotate in and out. So Tampa's someone that I like a lot. I don't think he should have fallen as far as he did in that draft last year, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Kevin Allstreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Yes or no question, Ravens will use the franchise tag this offseason?
I'm going to go no. I don't think they have the money for that, so I'm going to go no.
Kevin, what's happening at USA Today, the Ravens Wire, just what, days away, maybe a week plus from the combine here?
Yeah, that's the exciting part. We're going through prospects. We're talking about the Ravens cap situation, too. Obviously, they could have some tough decisions to make. What's the future of players like Mark Andrews? Could they extend a Derrick Henry or a Marlon Humphrey? So trying to figure out how the Ravens can make that cap space ahead of free agency and figuring out who they're going to draft. They have 11 draft picks, so if they don't move on from those draft picks, they're going to have a lot of rookies coming in.
Kevin, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn Up Tuesday.
Absolutely, guys. You too. Thanks so much again for having me.
All right, Kevin Allstreicher, everybody. It's funny, if Andrews would have caught that two-point conversion or wouldn't have fumbled and would have had an all-pro game, are we even talking about him being a cap casualty right now? All of a sudden. Whip around coming up next. Then we're going to break down the Orioles lineup and rotation versus the Yankees. We're going to do every team. We'll start with the team the Orioles are chasing, defending American League champion.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, qué Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Pinstripers.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? Here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Kind of light schedule in the world of sports as the NHL's in the Four Nations thing, which we're going to get to here in a second. NBA still on rest. They resumed tip on a Wednesday night. But real quick, NBA All-Star Game, Blutarski, 0.0 viewer for me. I didn't watch 1 second.
I didn't either.
Of the game.
I didn't either. It was on Saturday or Sunday. I don't even.
Well, Friday was the celebrity stuff, right, Nolan? Saturday was the skills and the. I saw McClung won the slam dunk again.
Yeah, right. That's what I. Three years in a row.
Yeah, we're at the point where like John Morant's like, I gotta get in this. Even Zach LaVine is like, oh, I'll do it. And the freak. So like up the game, and I saw that McClung. If you forgot who he was, you know, a highly regarded recruit, started at Georgetown, but he's made and transferred, bounced around a little bit now in the G League in Orlando's organization. He's made more money winning slam dunk contests than he has as a professional basketball player.
He's trying to leverage more, which rightfully so. I mean, he's the thing saving or keeping the dunk contest alive. He should go to the league and say, hey, I don't know, put me on a roster or something.
Yeah, so, yeah, right, no doubt. Yeah. But Orlando, you know, trying to get in the playoffs. I hear you. So it was the 3-point shootout, which I don't even know who won. I apologize. Who won that thing?
I don't know that. All I watched was the dunk contest.
No.
All right. There we go. But the game. Is it fair to say that all-star games now suck?
Yes.
NBA's been sucking for a while. Baseball all-star game now sucks. Yeah. Pro Bowl's not even a thing anymore. Hockey's just like what, 3-on-3?
Well, that's why they changed it.
And they were we'll play other countries,
four nations,
for real.
Yeah,
and get rid of it. But anyway, NBA All-Star Game, they're back as we said tomorrow, and then full slate coming up on Thursday. But there were a couple of college basketball games of note. Number 3 Duke, 80-62 over Virginia. Cooper Flagg, projected number 1 pick, 17-14 there. Number 19, Arizona, beat Baylor, 74-67 locally. It was South Carolina State, 87-57 over Coppin. And Morgan beat North Carolina Central, 92-78. Now you're just stacking like conference wins, you know, positioning yourself for the MEAC tournament there. Maryland, as we said with Kevin Willard, they're 20th in both polls. They've got USC coming up on Thursday night, 8:30 tip. Game you can hear on the Fan. Eric Musselman, late of Arkansas. He's the head coach. They've lost 3 of 4. They just lost at home to Minnesota over the weekend, 69-66. And we'll talk more about it over the next couple of days as we get you ready for it. However, Saturday night, Four Nations. In lieu of the All-Star break, no Ukraine, no Russia.
Belarus and Russia. No Belarus, no Russia.
Okay, yeah. Because I guess political statements,
yes,
here.
That's, yep.
No capitals.
Zero capitals on any of the four teams.
But it was USC, Canada in Boston Saturday night.
No, it was in Montreal Saturday night.
Oh, sorry, they're in Boston last night and then Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So they're in Montreal, where they're slugging Labatt's or whatever the hell it is. And they're booing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Guess they don't like them tariffs. I don't know. I'm not a political guy. Read the paper like everybody else. But what, 9 seconds into the game?
No, two.
2 seconds into the game. Listen, enough of this. Here's what happened.
Drop this puck. Get the action going.
The Tkachuk brothers are on the ice, flanking Jack Eichel. And John Cooper, look out. Drop the gloves right away. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel right off the hop.
Two 2 seconds in, puck drop, throw it down. Why? Why the fight right out of the gate?
They had, from listening to Matthew Tkachuk, who's got into the first fight, there was they were talking about it amongst themselves, how to start. The Tkachuk brothers, of course, mm-hmm. were
long texting. Lineage of fighters in the NHL.
Oh, the dad, too. Yeah.
Keith, yeah.
Yeah, so they talked about it, and he said, I want Hagel, is what Matthew said. So in the warm-ups, he told him, we're going. So then, and Hagel says, I'm not going to back down to that guy. So they have kind of a history of not liking each other. And then Brady Tkachuk, a couple seconds later, he fights Reinhardt, who was teammates with Matthew, who's teammates with Matthew Tkachuk in Florida, and he told them they were going. And then 6 seconds later, JT Miller gets into it with this big dude. So yeah, there was, and it was loud, it was crazy, and like that was the start of the game, and everybody just talked about the intensity, and that's what Tkachuk and them did. They said they wanted to get it going. I mean, and the fans were screaming, and they're all dressed in red. It was an unbelievable environment.
U.S. wins the game 3-1, most importantly.
Yeah, they got the empty netter. But, yeah, it was a 2-1 game throughout, and it was very physical. And they say the biggest thing what the Americans did was kind of took away the middle of the ice because Canada is so fast with McDavid and all those guys. They did a great – and they physical – like Brady Tkachuk had eight hits in the game. You know, and he was knocking people around. It was an awesome game to watch.
Championship game is Thursday night. Canada beat Finland to earn. They had to win in regulation, though, to get it, which they did 5-3. U.S. lost, did no harm, no fouler. But one of the Tkachuks got hurt in the game, or both of them did, didn't he?
Matthew got hurt in the Canadian game. He left after the second period. And then Brady got hurt last night when he ran into the goalpost or whatever. But they interviewed Matthew last night during the game, and he's playing. You know, I mean, they're playing. So everybody will play. Charlie McAvoy, he was in the hospital last night, but he's playing. So yeah, they're all gonna play, and I'm sure everybody will be tuned in to see what happens, you know, in this one. But Bob, the thing that happened was like more people watched this game than like regular season games and everything. So it was big for hockey.
Yeah, and the championship, as we said, puck drop 8:30 Thursday night in Boston. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's Sportsnet, by the way, on the call there. It's the whip around this day in Maryland history real quick. It's February the 18th, 1984. That at Clemson in triple overtime. The Terps beat the Tigers 66-65. Herman Beal with a putback at the buzzer. Ben Coleman led the way for Maryland, 21-8. Adrian Branch had 11. Len Bias and Jet Atkins had 10 points apiece. And then 5 years ago, Nolan, the what-if team. Seventh-ranked Maryland beat Northwestern 76-67. Jalen Smith now with the balls, 22 points, 19 rebounds. Anthony Cowan had 19. Daryl Morsell, Baltimore, 13-7. Scores Stixon for Baltimore. And Aaron, they were teammates in high school. And Aaron Wiggins now with Oklahoma City, 7.7 boards as Maryland beat Northwestern 76-67. The seventh-ranked University of Maryland Terrapins. Remember, that tournament was canceled along with everything else because of COVID 5 years ago today. We'll come back. Baseball season right around the corner. Spring opener for the Orioles is Saturday against the Pirates. We're going to break down the Orioles roster. Well, the lineup versus New York and rotation versus New York man for man. Who's got the position of strength? Yankees, of course, defending American League champions and AL East champs. Orioles have made the playoffs 2 years in a row, trying to get there 3 straight years for the first time in over 50 years. Before we get to the task at hand, which is the Orioles rotation, get a phone call in here as well. 410-583-1057. They using all 11 draft picks? Or are they
I
dangling?
I hope not. Because 11 guys can't make the team. That's what I hope they use some to move up in rounds to go get guys that they really like.
So we'll talk. Well, we got plenty of time to talk about it. And see, we got free agency, as Kevin said, in about a month. A year ago this time, old Derrick Henry became part of the equation. So do they have that sort of big splash? They may have to make hard decisions with others. And we talked about Andrews, maybe. on the way. And Nolan, getting real quick. If Andrews would have had a brilliant divisional game against Buffalo, are we even talking about him being a cap casualty? Or is that just going to be part of the... Because likely it's been, you know, you're seeing an ascending star. I'm not saying that Andrews is a descending star. What do you have, 11 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
But if he had played better, are we even having this conversation right now?
The tone would obviously not be the same, but it doesn't ignore the fact that he has the 1 year remaining with a pretty sizable cap hit. I think it would have been something to address either way. But had he played well, it probably would have been more, short-term extension or, you know, kind of what we are talking about now. Figure out what you're doing between him and Likely. That would have been that conversation wasn't going anywhere.
Now let's get rid of
him. Yeah.
He cost us the game.
Yeah, what's going to be interesting is if you do get rid of him, then you got to. I could see where you go through the draft, and if they take a tight end, then maybe, you know, after a June 1 cut for Andrews, if you don't get a tight end, you got to keep Andrews, I would think. You know, and then maybe a year from now, you're going to have to pay Likely. And then maybe, and then Andrews is a free agent, and then he's probably, what, close to 28, 29?
Well, I can't imagine any scenario where they flat out cut him. If they were going to move on,
no,
they'd trade him,
trade
right?
Him. Yeah. Well, the contract, if you trade him, though, and there's probably two first-round picks in the draft, and I think it's a pretty good year for tight ends, but if you trade him, you got to be willing to give him a new contract. That's a thing. And he's making over 15 now, which is big bucks.
So now this is a real discussion, which we'll revisit coming up here at 12 o'clock. All right, let's look at the start with the Yankees rotation, Nolan. Gerrit Cole, stud. Max Fried, stud. Carlos Rodon, very good. Had a couple shaky years, but he's bounced back. Luis Gil, rookie of the year in the American League. Clark Schmidt, hard thrower. And then the reluctant sixth starter, Marcus Stroman, who showed up late, not moving to the bullpen. They're probably going to look to trade him. We shall see. But needless to say, that's a winning starting rotation, injuries aside, which always, unfortunately, become a harsh part of your reality. Just look at the Orioles last year. Orioles, no particular order. Zach Eflin, Grayson Rodriguez, injured at the end of last season. Charlie Morton, hits the post 30 times a year, 41 years old. Dean Kramer hits the post, but he's had some injury issues himself. And the great unknown here is Sagano, who's never pitched at the major league level. Trevor Rogers dislocated his kneecap. See ya. That was, the big news when Elias met. And now McDermott's dealing with some stuff as well because he was kind of banged up, if memory serves, towards the end of last season. But Trevor Rogers, remember, he came from Miami in the Norby Stowers deal. Mm-hmm. And it's been, Stowers had his moments. Norby's a stud, my humble opinion. Rogers sucked for the Orioles. Pitched better in Norfolk. Now he's not going to be pitching at all, it seems, anytime soon. So, Nolan, if on paper you compare the rotations, it's got to be big thumbs up in favor of the Yankees right here.
Right. Yeah, there really isn't a comparison.
Right.
And this is just, again, solely based on what we've seen from them in the past, projections, any sort of comfort level you would have in any of these guys here in the middle of February. Now, the Orioles, to me, very clearly are banking on better results, of a continued growth from a Grayson Rodriguez, and hope that he is more of an ace profile in, you know, the traditional sense, actually being there from start to finish, 170 inning type of guy, sub 4 ERA, maybe even sub 3.5. But again, it's not like you're just trying to find one person to match Gerrit Cole. Fried, Rodon, it goes on and on and on. So Orioles at a clear disadvantage here, in my opinion.
Grayson was drafted by Dan Duquette to be the ace. And then he was so talented, even Mike Elias recognized this guy. He was the number one pitching prospect for a couple of years. But he's had that latissimus or whatever the hell it is twice since 2022. And it cost him the end of last season. So not saying it's put up or shut up or do or die, whatever cliche you want to use. But Can you make 30 starts, and can you pitch like a top three member of a start? Can you be Garrett Cole, or can you be Corbin Burns? Can you be that guy? Because potential-wise, we've been hearing forever, and we've seen it on the Hill. He's got the potential. When does it become a reality? Like, Gunner's a stud. See it. Watch it. Adley, for the most part, has been that guy. Rodriguez in spurts. And then the injury thing is something I think has to be real when you analyze it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he is 25 years old. I mean, it might be easy to forget that, because a lot of people's eyes, it took him forever to get up here. Or a little bit, maybe a year or two longer than we had originally hoped.
He got hurt when he was going to make his debut.
Yeah, so, but it's not like he's 28 already. I mean, he's still 25. So they would like to see him make that significant step forward, because if he doesn't, then it's another year past of somewhat wasted potential. It's another year past of, all right, is this guy actually going to be an ace, or do we have to pivot our expectations for him into just being a solid middle of the rotation guy? Because if he can't handle that innings workload or be available for that, then you're out of the ace conversation.
And by the way, and we'll get to it as the show progresses, we'll take a break, come back, take a call. News from the next top of the hour. Eric Edholm, NFL.com at 12:30. You can make a case that Toronto and Boston both have better rotations than the Orioles do, but we'll try to make that case that they don't in the remaining minutes of the show. So if you're on the phones, hang tight. It's Vinny at 80 Nolan. Turn it up Tuesday. Hope you're feeling all right. We're here for you. Orioles, first spring training game coming up on Saturday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Getting all of that and more with Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun coming up at 12:30. But let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Arbutus. It's Ed. Ed, thanks for holding. How you feeling?
Oh, good, Bob. Thank you for asking, sir.
How you doing, bud?
Good. How you doing, Vinny?
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Good day to you both. And the Orioles, starting projection rotation, all righties, just stating the obvious, would think they would be in pursuit of lefty acquisition for matchup balance. Jose Quintana, Mets, free agent, age 36, wealth of experience, 13 years in MLB, 500 career record, meaning he's in the game long enough for the decision, win or loss. 31 starts last year, 3.75 ERA. He's an affordable option and permissible by the owner, if need be, to spend, as he stated yesterday. Hopefully the O's have interest in that direction. It's strictly a money move. You don't have to touch any of your position players to get him on board. It's always roll the dice with any free agent, but his track record is worthy to get that thing done. And that's it today, gentlemen. I thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed, thanks. And Quintana pitched in the playoffs last year for the Mets. Does have a track record of success. Does bring that balance. Mm-hmm. And we keep forgetting to bring up Cade Povich, who, you know, had his rocky moments with the Orioles last year, but pitched very well down the stretch. Maybe he factors into the equation. And I guess the longer Quintana waits, because games are about to start, maybe the price tag starts to dip, or he and his representatives are like, well, let's wait till Johnny All-American's arm falls off, and then maybe I have a position of strength. But yeah, a left-handed arm added to the equation, I got no problem with that at all. And as I say all the time, they can sign anybody they want. My beer's still going to be $18. So unless you're going to sign and my beer gets cheaper, or you're not going to sign my beer, it doesn't matter. Do what you have to do, because the rebuild is over. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Rashawn. Rashawn, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good morning to y'all.
How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Just out here in this cold bitterness and counting down the days, man.
For what?
Sarasota, man. You know,
well, I thought you were talking about retiring. I was like, damn, how do I get one of them jobs?
Oh, no. Got about 30 more years for that, man. I'll probably die before I retire.
Once you do retire, you get like a terminal illness. That's how it kind of works.
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah, that's why you just got to live your life, man, right now. You never know what's happening in the future. But question about the O's, right? You think somebody like Dean Kramer can take the next step up Oh, he is who he is. You think he's just just going to be a number four guy his whole career, or he can step up and maybe a number two guy? I mean, he's 29 years old. Right?
I think the track record has shown he's a solid four at best. He can be a strong three for you. You know, he's very volatile at times. You can tell he's pissed. I mean, he wears his emotions on his sleeve when he's out there. But when he's dealing, he can be very mystifying. Dean Kramer, to me, Rashawn, is he Gerrit Cole? No. Corbin Burns? No. Does he have the upside of Grayson Rodriguez? I don't think so. But do I get mad when he's pitching every fifth day? Absolutely not. He gives him a chance to win, and I guess that's all you can hope for, right?
Yeah, that's true. And y'all mentioned Povich, right? Would they give him an opportunity to at least be in a starting rotation?
I will make a bold prediction that he'll make at least one start for the Orioles this year. How's that sound?
Okay, we shall see.
Yeah. You know, hey, when you're down there, though, say hi to everybody. Look for Gerrit Coleman. Tell him we said hello.
I sure will, man. All right, man, you have a good one.
Hi, Rashawn. There's Rashawn. I thought he said, yeah, counting down the days till I retire. Yeah. What are you, 27? What are you, shutting down the career like Andrew Luck? Injury-related? But going out to Sarasota and enjoying some spring ball, and it's Orioles and Pirates coming up Saturday. Paul Skeens against to be determined. And we'll talk about if, maybe Brandon Hyde mentions it today, who's going to get the ball, because Corbin Burns started the opener last year. John Means has done it before, right? Now in Cleveland. So we'll see. Not that it really matters, as long as I don't care who pitches, as long as they get out of their two innings unscathed health-wise. Nolan, say hello to the people out there.
Yeah, how about a look at the new guy, Sagano?
Yeah.
Maybe get him out there right away. I saw video coming out today of his bullpen working out. Looks like he threw 35 pitches. So there you go. That's all we got. That's our inside information as to what's going on down there, what looked good, what didn't. He's there. That's good. The whole visa issue is behind him. And I liked his opening comments over the weekend. Hey, you know, what brought you here? No hesitation, right out the gate. World Series. Want to bring home a world title.
Another one-year deal, too.
Right.
So next off season, they're going to have a lot of spots to fill on the 26th man. But we have time for a funhouse, Nolan. You want to riff about anything on your mind here?
We no time for a funhouse because we're coming up on it. But I'll say this real quickly about Maryland basketball.
Yes.
Because, you know, Sunday's win, scoring over 100. I mean, I don't care who you're playing in the Big Ten. It's impressive to score over 100. And for them to keep their foot on the gas, because they were good offensively in the first half, they just couldn't play defense. Iowa was lights out, couldn't miss. It was almost like going into the break was a detriment to Iowa. They would have preferred to keep playing. You know, let's keep this momentum rolling. But came back down to earth in the second half. Maryland stayed red hot. Starting five, fantastic again as usual. And we heard from Kevin Willard earlier about the depth, the concerns maybe still there. But, I mean, this starting five, as good as anybody in the country, a group of five, I'd imagine. And, I mean, if they just keep it rolling, their schedule's very favorable here over the next couple weeks. I don't see any reason to believe that they won't be in the top four in the conference tournament.
Another bold prediction outside of Povich making at least a start. They're not going to score 101 points every game. And sooner or later, they might need more than 6 points from the bench if they want to get deep into March. Because now they're kind of positioning themselves as a team that better get to the Sweet 16. Second-round exit would if they're trending the way they keep, they're a five seed in Joe Lenardi's. Then it means you got a 4-5 matchup, which is always tough in round two, but they're not going in as an 8 or a 10 where you're looking at the number one seed like they were a couple years back against Alabama, where you get trounced at 10:30 on a Saturday night. Now they're starting to look like a team that needs to get to the second weekend, which they haven't done in 9 years. I mean, is it fair to say anything less than the Sweet 16 is kind of be uncivilized for this ball club right now?
Not the way they're playing.
Right, especially if they're going to be in that 4-seed, 5-seed, even 6-seed range. Yeah, absolutely. Expectations will be there.
Yeah, and look, their one loss has been to Ohio State, where, by the way, they were underdogs, if we don't forget, in that game, and they still needed a bank shot to get upset on that. Well, they blew like multiple double-digit leads, so that was, that's why they took it on the chin in the polls last week. But anyway, they're hot right now. USC coming up Thursday night 8:30 tip, Xfinity Center. USC struggling right now. They've lost 3 of 4. They're on the outside of whatever bubble they're trying to get on. But Eric Musselman's a hell of a coach, so never underestimate him. News on the desk, top of the hour, buy or sell, where's the Turn Up Tuesday money? And then Eric Edholm, NFL.com, talk about some of the top prospects as we're just a little more than, less than 2 weeks now from the NFL Combine.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.